Amen. So there in Jeremiah chapter number 7, and we see in Jeremiah 7, we see God dealing with the nation of Judah. Jeremiah 7, look at verse number 1 again. The Bible says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord." Notice, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Notice verse 3, it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel." Notice what God wants his nation to do. It says, notice, "Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place." See, God wants the nation of Judah to get right with him. And he sends Jeremiah, the man of God, the prophet of the Lord, to preach to them, to say, notice, to say, amend your ways. Hey, get right with the Lord. Change your doings. Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. But I want you to notice, you know, more specifically, he's dealing with certain people. You know, God sends Jeremiah to deal with a certain specific people, and it is the people who are entering into the house of God. Notice what it says again in verse 2. It says, stand in the gate of, notice, of the Lord's house. See, God tells Jeremiah to do what? He says, go stand in the gate. Go stand at the entrance of where? Of the house of the Lord, of the house of God. He said, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah. Notice again, that enter in at these gates to do what? To worship the Lord. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. See, God is trying to get the nation of Judah back to him, to get right with him. And he sends Jeremiah, but he tells Jeremiah, hey, Jeremiah, go stand at the house of God. Go stand at the doors. And before people walk in, I want you to tell them before they come into my house, hey, amend your ways, amend your doings, and get right with the Lord. You're there in Jeremiah 7. Keep your place here, but go if you go to 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. You see, why is that? Why is God dealing with his nation, but he's going specifically to the house of God? See, oftentimes, what we focus on as Christians is we focus on the wickedness of the world, you know, as well we should. But we often think that God is just focused on the worldly wickedness out there, the abominations that are going on. But the Bible says that God is focused in his house. The Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God. 1 Peter 4, look at verse number 17. 1 Peter 4, 17. The Bible says, for the time has come, notice that, notice what it says, that judgment must begin where? Judgment must begin at the house of God. You see, why did God go to Jeremiah and say, hey, Jeremiah, go to the house of the Lord? Because judgment begins in the house of God. It says, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? See, oftentimes we take pleasure in thinking that God is only focused on the wickedness of the world, but all the while God's eyes, God's focus is in his house. And judgment begins where? In the house of God. Go back to Jeremiah 7. Keep your place in the New Testament. Go back to Jeremiah 7. And we see Jeremiah, he's going to specific people. Who are these people? Are these people who are not going to the house of God? No, these are people who are entering into the house of the Lord. I want you to know that these people are church members. These people have a church that they go to. And these are the people that Jeremiah has been called to preach to. Jeremiah 7, look at verse number 8. It says, behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. And in verse 9, I want you to notice the spiritual condition of these church members, the spiritual life of these people who are going to church. Notice what it says in verse 9. It says, will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not? You know, when you read this list of these people who are going to church, who are going to worship the Lord, who are church members in the house of God, if you look at this list, would you think that these people are right with God? You know, would you think that these people are being pleasing to the Lord, that they're satisfying God, that they're living for the Lord, that they're being spiritual? Notice it says, will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not? Notice these people, they're not spiritual church members. These people are carnal church members. And tonight I'm preaching on carnal church members. Notice what it says in verse number 10. It says, notice, and come, notice, and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Notice verse 11. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? And so we have Jeremiah. Who is he preaching to? He's preaching to the church members, the people who are going to the house of God, who are worshiping the Lord. They're not right with God, and he's preaching specifically to them. And the truth is, you and I, we don't want to be this person. We don't want to be the church member who faithfully goes to church, who might be three to thrive, three times a week, who's soul winning, who's faithful to everything, and yet we're not right with the Lord. Yet God will look at us and say, hey, we're just carnal church members. And look, you and I, we don't want to be this person. You and I, we want to be the spiritual church member. We don't want to be the carnal church member. And there's some characteristics about carnal church members that we see in this passage that we can apply or that we can take away and not become this person, not become the carnal church member like these people here in Jeremiah chapter 7. So what are some characteristics? And I see four characteristics of carnal church members. You say, you're preaching on carnal Christians. No, I'm not. I'm not preaching on carnal Christians because most Christians don't go to church. No, I'm preaching for the person who says, hey, Verity Baptist Church is my church. I'm preaching for the person who says, hey, I have a church that I go to. You're a church member. Hey, no, this is not for the person who does not even go to church. No, this is for the person who is three to thrive, who goes to church, because the truth is you and I ought to be aware of these things. So I see four things. And number one, we see that carnal church members mistake membership with righteousness. Carnal church members, they will mistake having a church membership, being a part of the right church, being a member of the right church. They will mistake church membership with righteousness, with being a godly Christian, with having a righteous life. Jeremiah 7, look at verse number 8. Jeremiah 7, 8, the Bible says, behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not? And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name. But I want you to notice what these people say. See, these people, they're not living for God. These people are out there, they're worldly, they're not worshiping the Lord, they're not pleasing to him, but they go to church. They come to church, and notice what they see at the end of verse 10. They say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. See, they come to church, and you know what they say? They say, hey, you know what? I'm right with God. They say, hey, I'm delivered to do all these abominations. They come to church, and they think they can live any way they want, do whatever they want, not worship the Lord with the life, not live for the God, but yet they come to church and they say, hey, you know what? I'm good to go. They say, you know, hey, I'm right with the Lord. Hey, I'm righteous. I'm delivered to do all these abominations. Why? Just because you have a church membership. But the truth is, look, being a member of the right church does not make you right with God. Look, and I'm all for being a member of the right church, and you ought to be a member of the best church. And if you're a member of the best church, realize that that does not mean automatically that you're automatically right with God. And these people live their lives not pleasing God, not walking with the Lord, yet they go to church and they think somehow being there makes them right with God. Jeremiah 7, look at verse number 3. Notice what it says in verse 3. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Notice what it says in verse 4. It says, trust not in lying words. Notice, what were these people trusting in? Where was their hope? It says, notice, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. See, these people thought that because they were in the right church, and look, they were obviously in the house of God. They were in the temple of the Lord. They were where they were supposed to be. But you know what? They thought they were delivered. They thought they were righteous. Why? Because they attended the right church and realized that carnal church members mistake membership with righteousness. Keep replacing it in Jeremiah 7, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And so we see that carnal church members, they'll mistake membership, being in the right church, with righteousness, with being a righteous person, with being right with God. What does that mean? That means that they assume that they're right with God just because they attend the right church. 1 Corinthians 3. And here in 1 Corinthians 3, we have the Apostle Paul addressing the church here at Corinth, which obviously is the right church, which obviously if you and I were in this area, we would be a part of the church of Corinth. 1 Corinthians 3, look at verse number 1. It says, and I, brethren. And I like how Paul begins, because he begins real gentle. He says, and I, brethren. Notice it says, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but notice, but as unto carnal. See, Paul looked at these church members here at Corinth, and he said, hey, you're a carnal church member. He said, but as unto carnal, notice, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, now are you able. Notice verse 3, it says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you, notice, envying and strife and divisions. He asked the question, he said, are you not carnal? He said, look, you're carnal. Yes, you're in the right church. And you can be in the right church like these people. You can be in the church of Corinth. You can be three to thrive. You can be a soul winner. You can be sold out. You can do all the activities, do everything that the church offers. But all the while, if you have envying as a church member, all the while, if you're an envious person towards other people, all the while, if you have an envious heart towards the things of this world, towards other people, all the while, if you have strife in your life, all the while, if you have strife, if you have contentions, if you have, notice, divisions with other church members, You're not getting along with other people in church. You have contentions with people in church. You hate your brother in Christ in your heart. All the while, you're doing these things, and you think you're spiritual because you're in the right church. No, Paul says, you know what? You're carnal. You're a carnal church member. And look, you can be in the right church, but don't think that makes you right with God. And look, don't think that you can have divisions, you can have envies, you can have contentions just because you're a three to thrive. See, oftentimes what we do is we think we can act any way we want in church just because we attend all three services. Just because we're always there, we think we can act any way we want. But God says, no, if you have these things, if you have envying, if you have strife, if you have divisions, hey, are you not carnal and walk as men? There are things you got to work on, he's saying. There are things you need to get out of your life. Why? Because being in the right church, attending the right church, does not automatically mean that you are right with God. Go to Philippians 2, if you would. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians 2. So number one, it says carnal church members mistake membership with righteousness. You say, what does that mean? Well, they assume that they're right with God because they attend the right church. But not only that, but carnal church members assume they're right with God because they're involved in church. Carnal church members assume that they are right with God because they're involved in church. And look, I'm all for getting involved in church. You go to Philippians 2:14. I'm all for getting involved in church, and I think you ought to get involved in everything in church. I think you ought to be three to thrive. I think you ought to be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I think you should be going soul winning once a week at least. I think you should be involved in every activity. Volunteer as much as you can. You should do all these things, but just because you're involved in everything, don't think that means you're automatically right with God. But carnal church members assume they're right with God just because they are involved. Philippians 2, look, verse number 14, it says, notice, 2:14, it says, do all things, but then it says this, without murmurings and disputings. See, the Bible says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. See, carnal church member, what they'll do is that they'll volunteer for everything. They'll volunteer to clean the church. They'll say, yeah, I'll be a part of the cleaning crew. But all the while, what do? They murmur and complain about the work they have to do. See, a carnal church member will volunteer to maybe be an usher, to maybe read the Bible, to maybe song lead, to maybe clean the church, to do whatever it is, to be involved in the program, to be three to thrive. All the while, what do? They murmur and complain the whole time. See, the Bible says do all things. You should do all things. I think you should be involved in everything. But if you're murmuring and complaining the whole time, the Bible says, hey, you're not right with God. And you ought to get right. And don't think that just because you do everything, that somehow makes you spiritual. The way you do things shows your spirituality. See, the Bible says, hey, do all things without murmurings and complainings. What is murmuring and complaining? When you're just disgruntled and talking bad, and you talk bad about the staff, you talk bad about the pastor, the pastor's wife, you talk bad about other church members. Look, you ought to get involved. But the way you do things shows us who you really are. And look, you can do right. You can do all the right things, but also you can also not be right. You can do right, but you can do right in the wrong way. So don't assume that because you volunteer, you do everything, that somehow automatically makes you right with God. Why? Because carnal church members assume that being involved, hey, I'm three to thrive, I do everything, being involved somehow automatically makes you right with God. Go, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 Thessalonians 3. See, carnal church members mistake membership with righteousness. They assume that they're right with God because they attend the right church. They assume that they're right with God because they're involved in church. But I want you to understand this. Don't, when you come to church, you know, don't assume everyone is automatically right with God because they attend the right church. You know, when you come to a church, don't just assume that everyone is automatically living for God. Everyone is automatically pleasing to the Lord. Don't just assume everyone's perfect, everyone's spiritual. Look, you got to take care of your own spirituality. And don't just assume that if somebody does everything or they're involved in the church, that somehow automatically makes them right with God. 2 Thessalonians 3, look at verse number 6. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6, the Bible says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what it says. It says that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. See, the Bible says that there are some brothers, that there are some people that you ought to withdraw yourself from. That there are some people who may not be living right, who may not be doing right, who may not be right with the Lord. And here, the admonition is that there are some people you need to withdraw yourselves from. It says, from every brother that walketh disorderly. So you say, how do I know when I should distance myself from another church member? Well, here in this context, it talks about people who don't work, you know, walking disorderly. They don't have a job. They're just idle. They don't do anything. The Bible says you got to withdraw yourself from those people. You say, how do I know if I should withdraw myself from someone? Well, when another church member causes you to sin, that's when you know, hey, I ought to withdraw myself. When another church member makes you sin or not spiritual, and you walk away feeling, you know what, this isn't right, you should withdraw yourself, and you got to take care of your own spiritual walk with God. And look, don't assume that, well, this person, they do everything, so it's okay to gossip with them. Just because they're involved in everything, just because they volunteer for everything. Look, if it's a sin to do it in the church, it's a sin to do it out of the church too. And don't just assume everyone's automatically right with God. You got to have some perception in your walk with God and withdraw yourselves when you realize, you know what, this is causing me to sin. They may be involved in the church. They may be free to thrive. They might be volunteering for everything. But you know what? They're causing me to sin. And this is someone that I need to withdraw myself from. But see, carnal church members, they'll mistake membership with righteousness. They'll assume that because you do everything or you're involved in everything or you're in the right church, that that somehow makes you righteous. But look, the Bible says you should be involved. You should be in the right church. You should do all things how? Without murmurings, without disputings. And realize that there may be some people that you need to withdraw yourself from. You say, how do I know? You know it when they cause you to sin. So number one, it said carnal church members mistake membership with righteousness. But number two, go back to Jeremiah 7, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah 7. Number two, not only do carnal church members mistake membership with righteousness, but number two, carnal church members mistake the process with the purpose. Carnal church members mistake the process of going to church with the purpose of church. See, there is a process of going to church, and that is separate from the purpose of church. But a carnal church member, somebody who might be free to thrive, they'll often, sometimes what they'll do is they'll mistake the process of actually going to church with the actual purpose of church. In Jeremiah 7, I want you to notice that these people, look, they had the process down to a T. Jeremiah 7, look at verse number 4. It says, notice verse 4, trust ye not in lying words. I want you to notice that these people, they were trusting in something. They had faith in something. They thought they were right with God for a reason. Look, they said they had trust. They had faith. But Jeremiah says, notice, trust ye not in lying words, saying, notice, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. See, these people had the process down of going to the temple of the Lord. Their faith was not in the purpose of church, in the purpose of the house of God. Their faith was in the process of going to the temple of the Lord. Jeremiah 7, look at verse number 14. Verse number 14, it says, therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name. Notice what God tells them, wherein, notice, ye trust. See, these people, they had faith in what? They had faith in the physical building of the church. They had faith in the fact that they actually went to the temple. They had faith in the fact that they went through the process of actually going to church. Jeremiah 7, look at verse number 8 again. It says, behold, again, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Verse 10, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Like, these people were not living a righteous life. But if you would ask them, hey, are you right with God? Are you living for the Lord? Are you doing what's right? You know what they would have told you? Of course I'm right with God. Of course I'm living for the Lord. And you would ask them, you know, why are you right with God? Well, you know, I go to church. Well, you know, I go to church Sunday morning. Well, I go to church Sunday night. Well, I go to church on Wednesday night. Well, I go soul winning once a week. Well, I volunteer to clean. I volunteer to help out. I do all these things. And all the while, they mistake the purpose of church with, they mistake the process of church with the purpose of church. And look, there is a process to going to church. And it takes effort. Like, it takes diligence. It takes hard work to get the process going of actually going to church. Look, you got to get yourself ready. You got to get your family ready. You got to get your kids ready. It takes diligence. It takes hard work for you to get your family in the car. You're tired after work. You go to church. You sit down. You're here for an hour and a half, 2 hours. You listen to preaching. You go home. You go soul winning once a week. You do all these things. There's this long process to church, but realize that the process of going to church is not the purpose of church. And these people, they lost sight of the purpose of church. And look, you and I, in the same way, after a while, we can get so wrapped up in the process of just going to church, that we can actually lose sight of the purpose of church. So do you ever ask yourself, you know, why do I do what I do? You know, why do I actually go to church 3 times a week? Why do I actually go soul winning once a week? Why do I do all these things in my life and we can lose sight of the actual purpose? You say, what's the purpose? Well, Jeremiah tells us the purpose of church. Jeremiah 7, look at verse number 3. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Notice what he says. He says, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. See, Jeremiah says, before you come into the house of the Lord, let me give you a message, O church member. He says, amend your ways and your doings. You say, what does it mean to amend? To amend means to fix or to change. You say, what is the purpose of church? The purpose of church is for you to amend your ways. It's for you to change your life. It's for you to fix your life. It's for you to become different. Jeremiah 7, look at verse number 5. Notice, if ye amend your ways and your doings. If ye throughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor. Jeremiah 7, look at verse number 23. Verse 23, but this thing I commanded I them, saying, notice, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. So you know what God is saying? God is saying that the purpose of church is not the process. The point of you being here, the point of you listening to the live stream is not just to check it off and say, hey, well, I did church. No, the purpose of church is for you to apply. The purpose of church for you is for you to change, to amend your ways, to obey his voice. See, oftentimes we can get so wrapped up in the process of in and out, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, week after week after week, that we lose sight of the purpose of church. You see, what is the purpose? The purpose is for you to change. The purpose is for you to change. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4. The carnal church members, what they'll do is they'll be through to thrive. Carnal church members, they'll be here. They'll volunteer. They'll help out. And they think they're right with God. Why? Because, well, I do all these things. Why? Because, well, I'm involved in this process of just going to church. Why? Because I just sit here in church. And all the while, you lose sight of the purpose. You're going to Ephesians 4. But in 2 Timothy 4, 2, the Bible says this to preachers. It says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You see, why does our pastor work hard on his sermons? Why does he work hard? Why does he study so much to give us some of the best sermons you could hear? The whole point is for you to change, for you to apply, for you to do something. See, the point of coming to church is not just to fill a seat, not just to check it off like you did something. The point is for you to apply. Ephesians 4, look at verse number 11. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? Again, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Notice what it says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, you may be through to thrive right now. You are not to lose sight of the purpose of church. And look, there ought to be a purpose for you listening to live stream. And I hope the purpose isn't, well, I better check in on the live chat so that pastor knows I watched. Look, the purpose ought to be, well, let me see what God has for me so I can change my life. Let me see what God has for me so I can amend my ways, so I can fix my marriage, fix my child ring, fix my finances, fix up my life. See, the point is not the process. And look, people are really good at the process. People are really good at coming here and being faithful and sitting down. But look, if there's no change, if they don't grow, then what's the point? You know, the question is, why do you even come? If you're not going to apply the sermons, if you're not going to do anything, what's the point of you being here? You're aimless. You're doing nothing, but yet you think you're okay because you're involved in the process, because you have the process down, but you're missing the purpose of church. Go to Ephesians 5, next chapter. Ephesians 5, look at verse number 25. Ephesians 5, 25, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And notice what Christ did. It says, and gave himself for it. See, it says that Christ died for the church. He gave himself for the church. Why did he do that? Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but what? But that it should be holy and without blemish. See, what is the purpose of coming to church? The purpose for God is for you to sanctify, purify your life, for you to become a holy Christian, for you to be pleasing in his sight. That is the purpose. And don't lose sight of the purpose of church. But look, when you come to church, week after week, month after month, year after year, and you decide to stop growing, you decide to stop changing, you decide to stop applying, look, then you've missed the purpose of church. And the point is not to just sit here for year after year after year. No, the point is for you to grow, for you to change, for you to get right with God. But carnal church members, what they'll do is they'll mistake the process of going to church with the purpose of church. And you see, they're living for the world. They're not living right. And you ask them, are you right with God? Well, of course, because, you know, I mean, I went soul winning. Or of course I'm right with God because, well, I go to church sometimes a week. Of course I'm right with God because I do X, Y, and Z. And all the while, they mistake the process with the purpose. So in your life, realize you got to remember the purpose of church. The purpose is for you to apply. The purpose is for you to grow. So number one, it said carnal church members, they'll mistake membership with righteousness. Carnal church members, they'll mistake the process of going to church with the purpose of church. And number three tonight, carnal church members mistake their life with their Christian life. Carnal church members will mistake their life with their Christian life. Jeremiah, go back to Jeremiah 7 if you would. Jeremiah 7. You say, what do you mean? Well, I want you to notice that these people, they had two lives. These people, on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, on Wednesday night, hey, they went to the temple of the Lord. They were worshiping God. They were living for God. They looked the part, they dressed the part, they acted the part. They looked like good, godly Christians. They have this Christian life over here that they carve out for God once a week, twice a week, three times a week, and they have their Christian life. All the while on this side, they have their own life. Jeremiah 7, look at verse number 17. I want you to notice in verse 17 what these people were like outside of the house of God. Jeremiah 7, 17, it says, seest thou not what they do? Notice, in the streets, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. And here we have God giving us a glimpse of these people's lives outside of the house of God. Verse 18, it says, the children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. See, God looked down, and what he saw on this side is that these people, yeah, they had their Christian life. Yeah, they went to church over here a couple times a week. But, you know, once church was over, once the service was done, once that live stream ended, they went over here and they had this other life. Where God looked down and he said, you know what, they're not even worshiping me. They're not even living for me. Yeah, they live for me over here when they're in church. They live for me over here when they're in front of the pastor or the pastor's wife. They live for me over here when everyone else is watching them. But then they go home and I look at them and they look like the world. And then I go home and I look at them, it looks like they're worshiping the world. They're worshiping Satan. They don't even look like God's people. Why? Because carnal church members, they will have two lives. They will have their Christian life over here and somehow separate that with their life over here. And God looks down and doesn't even recognize them. He said, where's the Christian that was over here on this end? They go home and they act like something completely different. But I want you to notice that carnal church members, they don't see anything wrong with being two-faced. They don't see anything wrong with having two lives. Jeremiah 7, look at verse number 34. Jeremiah 7, 34, it says, then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. I want you to notice that these people, in the life that they lived in their world, they were just smiles. They were just happy, living for the world, not trying to live for God, just putting up a front over here. And you got to realize that this ought not to be. You and your Christian life, you ought not to have Christianity as this thing that you do every once in a while. That Christianity is somehow this thing that you do only on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. But no, Christianity ought to be your entire life. Because the truth is, you're a Christian after the service, before the service, during the service, on Mondays, on Tuesdays, on Thursdays. You're a Christian your whole life. And don't think that somehow you can have Christianity over here set apart from your own life. That is not how it works. Go to Galatians chapter 2, if you would. Galatians 2. Galatians chapter number 2. And look, if something's wrong to do in church, because the truth is, you know, people, it's easy to put on the front. You know, we can act right. We can play the part because other people are watching us, because other people are around. But look, but if it is wrong to do something in church, then it's wrong to do it out there in the world too. You know, why is it that people, you would never curse or swear in front of pastor, but then you go to your job and then you curse and swear and you talk like the world? You would never gossip to the pastor's wife because you know it's wrong. Yet you want to take other church ladies and just gossip to them and somehow think it's right. And we live these two separate lives where we act one way here at church, but then we go home and we could act any way we want. That's not right. God says, you know, that is not how it should be. And you're mistaking your life with your Christian life. And it should be the same thing. You should be a Christian in your life. Galatians 2, notice verse number 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it says, but Christ liveth in me. And notice what he says. It says, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, Paul's saying, I'm crucified with Christ, but yet I'm alive. And he says, the life, not this little part, not this 2 hours a week, not just only when the pastor's around, or only when the pastor's wife around. No, my entire life, I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Go to Colossians 3, if you would. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians 3. See, carnal church members, and I'm talking to people who come to church 3 times a week, who volunteer, who are involved, who think they can have their life, this Christian little life over here, and yet go home and go out to the world and do whatever they want and live however they want, and they separate their life. Colossians 3, look at verse number 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Notice verse 4, it says, when Christ, notice what Paul says, when Christ, who is our life? See, if you would ask Paul, hey, Paul, is Christ something you do on the weekends? No, he said, Christ is my life. When I'm in church, when I'm out of church, when I'm at home with my family, you know what? Jesus Christ is in my life. And look, in your life, you got to strive to be the person that you act the way you act in church when you're at home. And the truth is, you know, if you have a family, look, kids know a fake when they see it. Kids can see mom and dad when you play the part. Kids can see when you're faking it, when you're putting up a front, when you come to church and you act one way, but then you go home and you act something completely different. And you don't think kids take note of that? You don't think they see that when you act one way in church and then go home and act completely different? As if they're two different lives? As if Christianity is just this little thing that we do in our lives? No, Paul said, Christ who is my life. Christ is my life. The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who died for me and saved me. And so your life, don't be this carnal church member that you think that Christianity is just this little thing that you do over here every once in a while. No, Christ is our life. Whether or not you're in church, whether or not anyone's in front of you, whether or not people are watching you, Christ ought to be your life all the time. Go back to Jeremiah 7, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 7. So number one, I said carnal church members mistake membership with righteousness. Carnal church members mistake the process of going to church with the purpose of church. Carnal church members mistake their life with their Christian life. And number four, lastly, carnal church members mistake church membership as a right and not a privilege. Carnal church members mistake church membership as a right and not a privilege. See, church membership is a privilege. Church membership is not a right. But carnal church members, what they'll do is they'll think that church membership is a right and not a privilege. And look, that'll cause you to mistreat the house of God. Because church membership is a privilege and not a right. And you know, what is a right? A right is an ability or concession that is due to a person by law, tradition, or nature, is conferred to all in a group and cannot be taken away. See, a right is something that is due to you, something that has been granted to you, but that cannot be taken away. But a privilege, because church is not a right. Church is a privilege. A privilege is a benefit that is not subject to the usual rules or penalties that is reserved by or granted to some in a group and that is not available to all, but which can be taken away. See, a privilege is something that can be taken away. You know, you give your kids privileges, but you could take those privileges away. And in the same way, in this story, we see that God takes away the house of God from these people. And he's teaching us the fact that church membership is not a right. Church membership is a privilege. Jeremiah 7, look at verse number 13. Jeremiah 7, 13. It says, "And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not." Notice what he says. "Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh." Notice verses 15. "And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren." See, God looked at this nation and he said, "You know, the way you're living, the way you're acting, I'm going to take this house away from you." And isn't that what happened to them in the end? The temple was destroyed. They go into captivity. And all the while, they thought what? They thought the temple of the Lord was always going to be there. The temple of God was always there. And God is showing us, hey, if God gives you something, he can take it away. And the truth is that church membership is a privilege and it is not a right. I want to read to you from our doctrinal statement. This can be found on our website. But in our doctrinal statement, it says, "We believe that church membership is a privilege and not a right. And church members are subject to be removed from membership and can be denied the right to attend the church services and activities if they violate the qualifications of church membership as set forth in the Holy Scriptures." And look, when you read the Bible, isn't that what you see? When you read things like in talk about people being thrown out of church for unresolved conflict, for being a railer, for spreading heresy, for preaching false doctrine, when you see people can be removed from the congregation for those things, you got to realize that, hey, church membership, it's not a right. Church membership is a privilege. And look, if it's a privilege, then you ought to treat it as such. You got to treat your church membership as an honor. And it is a privilege to be a part of a local church. And that should change the way you treat church. Because it's not a right, which means you can't just go and act any way you want. Look, if you give your kids a privilege, if you tell your kids, hey, you can be out until whatever, 8 p.m., and they go out and they're gone till 11, 12 a.m., you know, you're going to take that away from them. But in the same way, look, church membership, it's a privilege to be a part of a church. So don't, you can't just act however you want. You can't just do whatever you want to do. No, it is a privilege to be a part of a church. But carnal church members, they will mistake church membership as a right and not a privilege. And what happens to them in the end? In the end, the house gets taken away. In the end, they go into captivity. In the end, God removes those blessings that he gave them. And you got to realize, hey, in your life, you got to make sure that church is a privilege in your mind. And that should change the way that you treat church. So number one tonight, I said carnal church members mistake membership with righteousness. Number two, carnal church members mistake the process of going to church with the purpose of church. Carnal church members mistake their life with their Christian life. And number four, carnal church members mistake church membership as a right and not a privilege. And look, you don't want to be this person. You don't want to be this carnal church member who mistreats the house of God. You ought to appreciate what God has given you. Appreciate your pastor. Appreciate the word. Apply the sermons. And don't take things for granted. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight, dear God. I thank you for your word. I just pray that you be with our church, Lord. I pray that you protect our church, protect our pastor. And I just pray that you help us all to be better church members. And I just thank you for the blessings that you've given us in our lives, Lord. And I just pray that you be with the church family. I pray that they all get better. And I look forward to the day we all get back to the God. We love you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.